Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
I'd have been gutted if I'd set off the money and then come a day later.
Right, here we go.
Hello, Egg Chasers. It's the Egg Chasers Rugby Podcast, the podcast about rugby that doesn't take itself or the game too seriously. We are here with a Premiership Final preview pod. We thought it was worth just getting down and dirty. What am I saying?
I've got no idea. What are you saying?
With the final match of the domestic rugby season. It's one we can't wait for. I'm Tim, that's JB.
Hello, Timothy.
And there's Phil.
Hello, Tim.
So we've had 9 months building up to the game that we all knew was the final. We could have probably saved ourselves a whole lot of time and effort.
Yeah, we could have recorded this in September, really, couldn't we?
Yeah,
we could have thought about it.
Almost too predictable.
Yeah. But there we are. HQ, Exeter Chiefs against Saracens. After two muscular and dominant performances in the semi-finals, after impressive seasons, the two best teams in England are going head-to-head. So we're going to break this game down. Firstly, where are you going to be watching this one?
My house, I guess.
Yeah, I think so.
I did say, if Gloucester had won, I'd have gone down to watch the final. But yeah, I'm going to watch it in my house.
Such a Gloucester fan these days.
Huge Gloucester fan. You've not heard. Or, to be fair, if Northampton would have got through, I'd have gone to watch that.
I think if either of those teams had gone through, I reckon the people organising the event, Premiership Rugby, would have been rubbing their hands, loving it. Not because the support from Exeter Chiefs or Saracens is not good, but Gloucester and Northampton are particularly big support.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's such a rarity for them to be in this position that there'd be busloads of people going from both places.
Oh, do you know what? I just had a thought. There was a Times article the other day about Dean Ryan. We'd never even spoke about that, actually. You and Dean Ryan's parting shots.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So Dean Ryan obviously abandoned Worcester in the middle of a five-year plan. So jump ships to the RFU and then jump ship from the RFU to the Dragons. So I guess that worked well. Anyway, Stephen Jones covered this, and Stephen Jones describes Dean Ryan as one of the finest, or if not the finest, English-born coach, which I think's an amazing statement when Rob Baxter is in yet another final. What's this, his fourth final or third final?
Fourth final.
Fourth in a row.
Yeah. But it's important to know Dean Ryan is the best English-born coach. Absurd statement. Mm. Just thought I'd mention that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Baxter is the man.
I'll be watching this one at Twickenham.
Will you?
With Andy Good. Me and Andy Good are hosting the BT stage in the West Car Park.
Wow.
So come and say hello, come and see us. Little pod crossover.
Pod crossover. Yeah. Not only that, did you see the Green Bay Packers tweet?
With David Bakhtiari.
Bakhtiari.
Aaron Rodgers.
Destroying Aaron Rodgers in basically a pint race, which is exactly how it would go down if us and the Rugby Pod happened to face off. And maybe on that stage, you should teach Goody a bit of a lesson, mate.
That was unfair. That was grotesquely unfair mismatch that should never have been allowed to take place.
Yeah, well, there you go. You can throw down the gauntlet to Goody when you see him.
Well, yeah. I mean, actually, I think one of the last times that I properly dusted off my pint was the last Premiership final night, because basically word's been slowly getting around with my BT colleagues. I haven't been bragging about it, but on the odd night out in Belfast last season, it came out.
Good.
And then word gets around.
It does get around.
And then by the time it was after the Premiership final, there's always a big, there's always a wrap party where it's like end of season, loads of beers.
So I'd go and watch that show hosted by you and Goody just to watch you two fight over mic time.
I'm very generous. I'm there as the host. I'm the background. It's like my job's actually for Peter to
make other people
to
better.
Visible.
Can it? You're other people better. You're like the Danny Cipriani. You make people around you better.
Yes, I'm going to wear mitts.
Yeah,
for my mic.
Slip mitts.
Yeah, totally.
Excellent.
It should be a great final. The last few years as well, it's been scorchingly hot. I hope it's the same.
It has been good weather.
First time the Premiership finals drifted into June.
That reminds me and JB were in the hot seat.
Oh my God.
On Saturday afternoon.
Yeah.
Which is, so that in Twickenham, for the sevens, there's a little strip pitch side with some couches, a nice little bar. You could get a burger or anything if you want it. So we had two games pitch side.
I was gonna say you had two burgers.
No.
Had multiple.
We had multiple lots of food.
Macaroni cheese pies, though.
And chili. I keep saying chili cheese steak. Philly cheese steak pies.
Goodness me. They're two fine pies, but a macaroni cheese pie is out of this world.
But we were in the hot seat. That is, it's possibly the hottest place I've ever been in the UK. So we were wearing our tweed, and it just, we caught it wrong. So it was about 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And the sun was baking down. It was like someone had a magnifying glass over that little spot.
It was a form of rugby torture, warm rugby torture. It was
It's a first world problem. The way you've described it is a slight first world problem.
And
I couldn't even concentrate.
They sat pitch side on a sofa being fed free booze and food.
Tim, they could not. They literally could not pour the pims fast enough for us to say stay cool.
Yeah, it was so hot. I was struggling to listen. So the conversation I was having with Brian Habana. The only reason I managed to focus on it, right, was because he mentioned Faf de Klerk. And I like to talk about Faf de Klerk, but even that was difficult.
Oh, Faffy.
Yeah, Faffy, as I like to call him.
Yes. So where were we?
Yeah, so it's going to be in Twickenham.
Yes.
Exeter presumably will have home changing room and first choice of stash.
Okay.
So if bearing in mind it might be hot, go with the white kit.
Definitely the white kit.
Oh, yeah, great shout.
The Saracens get red or black, they get to choose.
Yeah. Yeah, the European kit.
Hang on a minute, that isn't how it works. If you're the home team, surely you don't get to choose your kit. Because it's always the alternative strip at home. So presumably Saracens get to pick.
Well,
that's how it should be.
Exeter have worn white the last couple of years, haven't they, when they finished top of the table?
Yeah. But that shouldn't be the case. If it's an Exeter home game, notionally speaking, Saracens should be choosing the kit.
I think it works home and away. I don't know. Anyway, I'm not sure. Anyway, regardless, it's not going to be that hot. Well, I hope it is, but anyway.
It is that hot. It is that hot there.
So, let's put these two teams together, match them up, maybe pick a 15 between them, and then pick the bones out of how each team goes about winning and where the dangers are, where the... So... If you were going to assemble a pack out of these two squads, would you go with Moon or Barrington? Bearing in mind, Makovinopola is not going to be available.
Moon? It would be Moon.
Moon, yeah.
England, because Barrington's eligible for England.
Yeah.
Never been picked up. Moon and Hepburn both have.
George, Luke Cowan-Dickie, that's easy.
Jamie George.
As it is with England, Jamie George.
Yeah. It's hard to say not. Say no,
or Yendl, to be fair, who started. And then you've got Harry Williams or
Vincent Koch.
I would do it a different way, Tim. How about this?
We'll take the unit.
Yeah, don't pick the players, pick the units. It'd definitely be Exeter front row in that regard.
Would it? Okay.
For me, it would.
It probably would now, but bearing in mind,
it would.
No Mako.
Yes, Exeter front row.
Yeah.
Fine. Locks.
Goodness me. If there is
Cruise
a better...
Skelton or... Oh, it's going to be Cruise and Skelton, isn't it?
Well, if there's a better set of locks... In the world, if there's a club with a better set of locks, I would like to know who they are.
Yeah.
So Saracens in the engine room. Back row then. Which back row do you pick? Billy, Jackson Ray, and Maro Itoje. Well, Don Armand, Matt Kvesic, and...
Dave Ewers.
Hey,
Dave.
You go Saracens, don't you?
Yeah.
It's a coin flip. It really is.
Exeter back row is playing well, but
would
Saracens...
Would you put an Exeter player into the Saracens back row? If you had the chance,
I'd pick Don Armand.
I could possibly
any team.
Go for Don Armand over Jackson Ray.
The thing is, Don Armand is a fantastic player. You might argue, though, even though he's been playing better and he's more consistent, he's got years and years under his belt now, at being great, you might argue that Dave Ewers is the naturally more talented man.
Maybe.
He's certainly bigger. Just.
I was going to say, they're both enormous. Is he bigger?
I don't know.
Yeah, I think Dave Ewers is bigger.
Certainly naturally more curved back. Yes. If Dave Ewers stood up straight or had they're a proper both... posture, he'd be about 4 inches taller.
Just imagine if Zimbabwe actually had a rugby team. My word. Mm. My word.
They'd have too many back row players.
If that's possible, they'd be like...
They'd have to convert Dunham into a lock.
They'd be like Northampton Saints.
Yeah.
It's a coin flip for me.
So that bearing in mind what we said on the last podcast about how dominant and how powerful the packs were, and that for 80 minutes, even Gloucester couldn't live with Saracens and even Northampton couldn't live with Exeter.
Mm. Well, there are other things to consider, aren't there?
There are other things to consider, but that's pretty ominous from Exeter's point of view. That
yeah, but it's a more... I mean, there's more to it, isn't it? It's like, you know, the cohesion of the unit and this, that and the other. And I think that Exeter are far in advance of where Gloucester are, and they do things slightly different to what Saracens do. I mean, it's a pretty even matchup, I think. What is it? I don't know. I don't know.
It begins to sound less balanced when you go through, but then we've always said it about Exeter that they are greater than the sum of their parts. But
yes,
then,
they are, yeah.
Then I actually think Saracens are greater than the sum of their parts, as well as being incredible individuals.
I agree with that as well. Yeah.
Yeah, because in the backs, I'm not sure who I pick.
Well, halfbacks, obviously, you'd go Spencer Farrell.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ben White's very good. I mean, let's not gloss over him.
Nick White.
Sorry.
Ben White's Leicester.
Rough. Yes, that's correct. Nick White is very good. And, you know, if he was in Australia, I think he'd be the Australian number nine. In fact, I think they are looking to bring him into the training squad, are they not?
I think they are. How are they going to manage to get Will Skelton in? Because they've got to.
Yeah.
They've got to.
Yeah. Skelton has to go to the World Cup, the way he's playing at the moment.
Yeah, I would probably, I don't know. I mean, yeah, you've got to give Ben Spencer the nod. Give Owen Farrell the nod.
It's very good of you, JB, to give Owen Farrell the nod.
It's just a bad way to decide which is the best team, because it's about the team.
Well, centres, you take Exeter in the midfield.
I wouldn't. I'd take Brad Barrett.
Devoto and Slade, Barrett's not going to be fit.
Is that for definite?
Definite.
All right.
Hamstring injury. So it'll be Tompkins,
Trey scoring Tompkins,
Lozowski.
Lozowski can play a bit though.
But
the two of them,
Devoto and Slade.
I think Devoto and Slade are probably the best centre partnership in the league this year because of they've had the consistency and the performances. So
Devoto would be my next guy on the pecking list. If I was picking England tomorrow, it'd be Brad Barrett, and then it'd be Devoto.
Well, Devoto was in the Six Nations squad, wasn't he?
Was he?
Yeah, he never played, but he was in the wider training squad.
Insane, absolute insanity. But they don't fit the Eddie Jones mould, do they? They're basically...
Well, Devoto clearly does.
Well, he's not played.
No,
but he's in the squad.
Cab off the rank.
Do you reckon he is?
Well, clearly, he was in the Six Nations squad.
I think they would find another guy. I think they'd find Manu Tuilagi Mark III or Teo Mark II. That's what I think they would do. But, yeah, okay. But I don't think that they're playing.
Out of interest, who would that be?
Jamie Roberts? I don't know. I honestly don't know. Who would that be?
He'll throw a curveball. No, he'll go.
Mark Jennings? I don't know.
the white Bastereau.
Yeah. Bastereau. I mean, you know, the only other guy I'd look at for England, not that we're talking about England, would be Ryan Mills. I think Ryan Mills is probably pushing, but
yep.
Anyway, enough of that.
So, at the Exeter Chiefs midfield, the wingers, I mean, it was a bold call for Rob Baxter to put Tom O'Flaherty over Ollie Woodburn. Cuthbert over Woodburn.
So, Flattery's one I really struggle with. I saw him, I think, on his debut against Harlequins, and I thought, this guy is not good enough. And I've seen him since, and I've always thought, this guy is not good enough. And then in the semi-final, he scores a wonder try. Maybe he's good enough. I mean, is he as good as those other boys? I don't know, but there again, that's why Rob Baxter's amazing.
Yeah, did you hear Baxter's comments about him after the game? Baxter said... he's not necessarily had the best performances in the last few weeks, but he said O'Flaherty has been training phenomenally well, both in terms of the quality of his performances, but also the attitude he's been bringing. And so Baxter wanted to give him the shot, and O'Flaherty, I mean, he got a yellow card, which was a little bit unlucky for him to get the yellow card, but he got a yellow card, but was more than vindicated. Baxter's decision.
But you can't, but geez, mates, Williams, good.
Yeah, that's your back three.
Frightening back three. Even if you were picking them all head to head, you go with those three.
You would do.
Hard to disagree.
Woodburn, he's not had the season like last season. I mean, last season, he was just phenomenal.
Oh, no, sorry, would you go Noel over Maitland?
No.
I'm not even sure you would.
No, and I'll tell you why, because...
If you're picking as a unit, obviously not, but if you're picking as individuals, possibly, because Noel does things that other wingers can't do.
Yeah, actually.
So Noel is busy working in midfield, isn't he, doing those sort of things, whereas Maitland is busy chasing kicks, using his height, trying to knock things back. Sorry, I thought you were pointing at...
No, you're right. They do very different things.
They do very different things.
It's interesting, actually. If Woodburn had had the season he had last season, and if Cordero was fit, which he might be, I'm sure I read something saying he might be fit. I might be totally wrong. But that is a bloody... Noel, Woodburn, Cordero is a bloody dangerous back three.
So, actually, Woodburn is the guy who is more likely to challenge Maitland.
They
are actually more similar than...
Completely agree with that.
Yeah, I agree with that. And sort of coming round to drawing a line under that, I think what concerns me is that I do Exeter have are Exeter going to have, exactly as you say, if they had Noel, Woodburn and on top form and Cordero playing, you know, fit, then I think they would have a response and have they would make Saracens think enough about, do we really want to kick him the ball?
Yeah.
Because, geez, they can punish us if they get a sniff. I don't know if Exeter quite have that.
I don't think they do. Like, if you just kick the ball to Ollie Woodburn, do you think he's going to hurt you from deep? Probably not. And I think the same about Maitland. Probably not. Liam Williams, definitely. Goody, definitely.
Cordero, definitely.
Cordero, definitely. Noel. Noel. And maybe a Flattery, whatever his name is.
Basically, I think it is. If Spencer and Farrell dictate and are able to have time that they want to kick, then Saracens are going to dominate. But I think... So Exeter have to get to Spencer to disrupt Farrell, to disrupt Spencer's own kicking game, to then maybe when the kicks do go Exeter's way, they're a little bit deeper, they're a little bit... They can't chase it quite as well, and you create a little bit of space. I'm starting to worry that this is going to be maybe even more... one-sided than last year's final was.
I don't know.
27-10, wasn't it?
Yeah, I can't see it being... I just can't see it being that one-sided. I can see it being... Because exactly as you're saying, if Exeter can disrupt, I think they will do. I think that pack is big enough to disrupt at scrum time, to make a mess of lineups, and to really challenge at the breakdown.
Yeah,
way that Leinster did for not all of the game, but a lot of the game.
But I would say, so 30 minutes, Leinster looked great. But if you look at that from another point of view, Leinster didn't score a point for 50 minutes.
Yeah.
Saracens were on a pitch with Leinster for 50 minutes and didn't let them score a single point.
And Leinster are a very good team to compare Exeter to, I think. Lots of multiple phases, very, very powerful team. I still think that Exeter are going to have an advantage over Saracens with their driving mauls. I don't think anyone challenges like Exeter do with driving mauls, and also that 5 metre pick and go game. Where it's going to be decided, I think, though, is that Saracens kicking game, because it just turns everything into an absolute lottery.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at UH1.com.
And another thing on Exeter's performance the last 2 weeks, the Saracens' fitness and cohesiveness gave them that 50 minutes, the latter 50 minutes of the game. Whereas Exeter, it's been in the second half of the last 2 weeks where they've really pulled away. Half time, it was anyone's game. So Exeter's, half of it is their actual physical fitness, half of it is their decision making. And by consistently making better decisions, you don't end up being as tired and you end up having more left in the tank for the last 20, 30, 40 minutes. So I can't see Saracens running away with it. I think Saracens are favourite to me.
Yeah.
There is a question mark over how much has the last few weeks, particularly the mental up and down of the final and the mental up and down of the semi-final, how much has that taken out of Saracens? Because they're big games, big physical games. You've got to get up. You've got to switch on for big physical games. So that will... It will take something out of Saracens. But they've been in this position so many times. The majority of the squad are three times European Champions Cup finals. European Champions Cup winners. They are multiple Premiership winners. So they've been here so many times.
When's the last time one of these
before?
Two didn't win the Premiership? Was it 4 years ago or 5 years ago? Was it Leicester?
It was when Northampton won it in 2014.
Really?
Who won it first? Because it was the...
Was it Harlequins in 2014? No, Harlequins was 2011 or 2012, wasn't it?
Yeah. Then Leicester won it when Hartley got sent off. That was 2013, wasn't it? Because that was before the Lions tour.
And then Northampton did win it.
Did Northampton win it after that?
They beat Saracens. Of all people.
Winners.
Was that the year when Saracens first won the Champions Cup?
Sorry, just give me two seconds.
Northampton. It was Northampton after. So it did go Quins, Leicester, Northampton.
And then Saracens, Exeter, Saracens.
Saracens, Exeter, Saracens. Correct. Yeah.
Amazing.
And Exeter, this is their fourth consecutive final.
It's also Saracens' fourth consecutive final. So
Exeter beat Wasps, didn't they?
Did they?
Yeah.
Yeah. Steenson's winning kick was against Wasps.
Right. Yes. Oh. Yeah.
But it is Saracens' fifth final in 6 years.
Pretty impressive, isn't it?
And they've won a trophy every single year. So even when they lost to Northampton, they didn't lose to Northampton, did they?
Oh, 2005, 2006.
Saracens did lose to Northampton.
They lost to Northampton, but they won the Champions Cup that year. And then they won the double. And then they lost to Exeter, but won the Champions Cup again.
Yeah.
Then they won the Premiership, but lost the Champions Cup in the quarterfinals to Leinster. And now they're on for a double again.
Yeah.
Just looking back, Leicester Tigers had 9 consecutive finals.
Wow.
Including 4 wins.
And a playoff appearance in every year except for last one and this one.
And this one.
And in 2006, 2005, 2006, who won it then?
2005-06.
Oh, sorry, 2006, 2007?
2006.
6-7 was Leicester.
Sale Sharks, it was Sale Sharks.
That was 5-6.
It's 6-7, wasn't it?
I'm looking at it. It was 5-6.
Oh, yeah. 5-6. You're right. So it's how it's worded there.
They beat...
what does it say there that makes you think?
Formatted?
They pumped Gloucester. Okay. They absolutely pumped Gloucester in the final, is that right?
Could have been. I'm
looking at now.
Leicester.
No, 45-20. Yeah.
I remember Gloucester getting absolutely pumped.
That was by Leicester. Alassana Tuolangi just scored.
That's right. So
running over the top of them.
So if you remember, Leicester made big wingers really fashionable that year because they had Tuolangi on one side.
Well, I think Jonah Lomu might have done that.
Yeah. And on the other side, they had, what's his name? The guy who sadly passed away.
Rambeni
on the other wing. And these guys wreaked havoc with Gloucester. So they went and bought Rambeni themselves, and they also bought Carl Price. And it worked out really well.
And Leslie Viannicolo.
It worked great. It worked really, really well. And that was Dean Ryan, of course.
Iron Lion Dean Ryan.
So, predictions. Tim, you're saying Saracens win.
So here's the way I think the game's going to go. I think Exeter will do what they have done all year, and I think it was good to hear Matt Kvesic after the game saying what they didn't do last year was play the way they play. And I think it would be tempting when you play Saracens to sort of go, oh, Saracens do this, we better train to combat that. Well, actually, no, hold on, we finished top of the table, just trust what we do. I think Exeter will do that, and that will mean they will take chances in their own half. Unfortunately, because they're up against Saracens, I think that's going to play into Saracens' hands. And they will pick off 3 points by winning penalties when Exeter are trying to play, Then Exeter have to play catch up, and I just worry that it's going to be a 20-odd point win to Saracens.
10-point win to Saracens.
I think that's, I'd say 8 points to Saracens. Yeah.
I really, really hope I'm wrong, and I really, really hope it's close. And but it's going to be a hell of a game.
Yeah. It is interesting that, so everyone said the two best teams in Europe got to the final. They were fully deserved, Leinster and Saracens, by far the best two teams. In the Premiership, the two best teams have got to the final, fully deserved, both streets ahead. Over the full course of the season, they are a long way ahead of the next nearest team, as our next two nearest teams, as this weekend proved. So, fully deserved by Saracens next to be an interesting final.
I hate this weekend because you look forward to it and then it's over. The rugby's snatched away from you cruelly.
Well, now
rapidly.
There's no summer tours as well.
No summer tour. There's a Barbarians game. No one cares about that. And then we've got nothing.
Wow, that's loads of weeks to talk about all of those. We can get really deep into Dean Ryan.
Yeah. Super Rugby.
Yeah.
And this is Rugby League. Rugby X, we can talk about that so, again.
Yeah, defo.
I can't believe I've got to wait until October to watch Rugby X in the flesh.
Well, we're having to spread out one other bit of content we had planned for this podcast because basically we are just waiting on a couple of technical details, website and things like that, before we can actually officially announce our Negroni Party World Cup preview live podcast.
Slash JB 2020
RFU Council launch.
And it is at Twickenham, right?
It's at Twickenham.
It is actually at Twickenham.
It's actually, yeah, when we say Twickenham, we don't mean it's in Twickenham around the corner from the ground.
It's in the stadium.
It's going to be in the stadium at Twickenham.
Do you think we can
podcast.
Sell out 80,000 seats? Do you think we've been ambitious? Yeah,
come on. Us, you two.
Yeah. I guess so. By all people I know, by all people you know.
So apologies, we don't have the information right now, but we will be bringing that to you very, very soon. I need to go and work.
Yeah, cool. We'll get out of here then. That's all.
I need to go to the gym.
Let's all leave. I've got nothing to do. I'm going to cut the grass.
Let the boys play.
Let the boys play.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.